NPR is doing its annual survey to better understand how listeners like you spend time with podcasts. Please help us out by completing a short anonymous survey at npr.org/podcastsurvey, all one word. We would really appreciate your help to support NPR podcasts. That's npr.org/podcastsurvey, all one word. Thanks. Welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tabbitt Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the fireworks launching site here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, you know what 4th of July is.
Watch out! No, what is this? This is 4th of July. That's right. And so yeah, what?
It's Suspension Independence Day.
No, isn't it Independence Suspension Day?
No, not this time. It's Suspension Independence.
And we're celebrating it in grand style. Hey, before I forget,
yeah,
we would like to mention two heartwarming GM stories.
Yes. I was hoping you'd bring this up. Now, first, let's put this into context. You may recall that several years ago, I predicted, that means taking a wild guess with based on nothing.
Yes.
I predicted that the car company of the 90s would be what? General Motors.
Right. I had this followed your prediction of the car company of the 70s being
Renault,
in the 80s being AMC. But
that's true. But I figure it was time to be right. The gambler's fallacy.
Right. On the strength of two failures, you figure you had a success coming.
And that's correct. I have been groping, looking for evidence, you might say, that my prediction was going to be true. And I have been finding all around me none.
Until
this past week, and they're coming in and drove.
they drove in.
They drove
in. Here's the first of there are two little stories here.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll tell you what they are. A woman wrote to our newspaper column about her 3-year-old Beretta.
Yeah, that's a Chevrolet.
Yes,
Chevrolet. Very, very popular car.
It is.
They sold 10 of them.
No, they sold, not in our neighborhood, but they've sold quite a few. And the paint was peeling. And the dealer told her that they would pay for only half of it.
Actually, what she told us, the car has only 50,000 miles on it, and the dealer says that they will only pay for half of a new paint job. We responded to her, as I remember, in our typical, inimitable, brilliant, incisive fashion. We said if they'll pay 50% at 50,000 miles, wait till the car has 100,000 miles on it.
They'll pay
100%, right?
Well, anyway, after reading our column, Chevrolet called her and said they would make her a happy customer.
Well, they bought her a Toyota.
New Camry. No, they said they were going to paint her car.
No kidding.
Yeah.
For free.
Well, I assume so, yeah. Well, anyway, the other one was a woman that called.
This is what, another heartwarming story?
Well, kind of. Heartburning, I think. A woman called our show a couple of months ago, and she had a 92 Oldsmobile Custom Cruiser. And she had some strange, disgusting, bubbly growth.
I remember that call. That was not that long ago.
And again, the dealer told her, you must have spilled something on it, lady. And she cried and she got all upset. She said, I didn't spill anything on it.
That's been the classic response of General Motors. Blame the customer, no matter what it is.
Well,
my car blew up. What did you do? What did you do? Why did you do that?
You do it with your kids, right?
They blame you. They're trying to, I don't know what
it is. Yes, it's a blame. This is a trend in our society to blame someone else.
It
anyway,
is.
after the people at Oldsmobile heard her call on our show, they decided to replace the seat, no matter how it happened, and to make her a happy customer.
Oh, they're gonna have Toyota dealer's gonna be out of business.
You have any letters? I guess not.
I have one letter. You want me to read it?
Not yet. Can we take a call?
Sure, take a call. 1-800-332-9287. Hi.
Hello, this is Chip.
Chip!
Chip!
From where, Chip?
From New Jersey. Somerville, New Jersey.
Chip, huh? Chip, I'm trying to say this nicely, but how does one get a name like Chip?
I know how.
How?
What?
Because your other name is so bad that you'll use Chip.
I mean, what is your real name, Chip? You don't have... No, why not? You can tell us.
Yeah, okay.
We don't know who you are. You don't know us. We don't know you.
It's Holman Dean Pettibone III.
Okay, Chip is great.
Chip. What can we do for you?
That confirms what you think.
It does indeed.
I'm going to change mine, too. I want a name like that.
Flip, I think. You'd be a good Flip. Like Flip O'Neill, right? Or that Tip O'Neill. I don't know.
That's
anyway,
Chip O'Neill. Come on, the guy's got problems here, and you're joking around.
I'm sorry. What's
Chip,
up,
what's
Chip?
Up?
Well, I need your help. I need advice on how to deal with my neighbors.
Oh, my brother's good at this.
No, my brother's good.
I'll tell you, just as a little preface, I don't have neighbors anymore.
The first thing you need is a large dog.
My neighbors, one by one, have moved away, and all the houses have laid empty because when the real estate people show up.
Do you remember that scene in Gone with the Wind when they went back to Tara? Yeah. After the fires and the red
street. That's what it's All right, so.
Okay, well, here's the problem I have.
Yeah.
We're in a townhouse, so our neighbors are in pretty close quarters.
Yeah.
And there's a parking lot right out in front.
Yeah.
And they have an annoying habit. Every morning before they go to work.
I got it.
There's two of them. They go out and turn on the car, start the car.
And all the fumes come in your bedroom window.
Well, yeah, that's not the real problem.
Oh.
That does happen later. They warm it up for about 20 minutes every morning.
Oh, geez, really?
So what I'm looking for is a diplomatic way to tell them that warming
up.
Like
a cherry bomb up the tailpipe. Is that did I get that wrong? That's not diplomatic enough.
It's to the point.
I did flunk that course, diplomacy. Tailpipe diplomacy,
right?
They call it.
Right, gunboat diplomacy. They call it.
I mean, are you on speaking terms with these deadbeats?
Oh yes, they're friends of ours.
Oh,
I can tell them anything except I haven't felt like I can tell.
So
them
you consider this would be kind of like a personal affront?
Yeah, I mean, it's really annoying to us because often I will wake up because you know they do this in winter and summer. So in summer, our windows are open.
What is it that actually bothers you? The noise, the fumes, what?
The noise mainly.
Sure.
And then sometimes they'll leave the door open so you hear the chime going on.
Oh, right. It could be worse. They could have a Nissan that says, your key is in the ignition. Your key is in the ignition.
It could be worse. Our show could be on.
Fortunately, they don't have that. But then, yes, like this morning, they warmed it up and I was downstairs with the baby. We had this front door open with a screen door, and the fumes were coming in, so I had to close the door.
Yeah.
I've
timed this up to 23 minutes. It's usually about 15, 20.
Well, I mean, we could take the rational approach, which is that they truly are doing damage to the car.
Well, is that true?
Yes, and I think you should take the... In many cases, I'm an expert on interpersonal relationships. Here's what you do. You grab them by the throat. They look stupid.
They're stupid.
No, the manner in which a point is driven home is very important. And,
yes.
And if you do it in a condescending manner,
right.
Then it's gonna be confrontational.
I didn't want to tell them it was really annoying us. I wanted to say, you know, you kind of
I got it.
Seen your car.
I've got it.
I know.
You have
answer.
To emerge from the house every morning wearing a gas mask. None of the subtle hints will work.
Yeah,
true. That might work. And they ask you, why are you doing this? You say, well, no reason.
Well, actually, here's what you do. You go out the night. Are they parked on the street or in the parking lot of the townhouse?
Parking lot of the town, right out front.
Right out front of you.
Forget about the cherry bomb in the tailpipe. That was gauche of me.
No, I wouldn't forget that
yet. I would take rolled up newspaper and throw it underneath the car in the area of the catalytic converter.
Oh, you are a vindictive, nasty sort, aren't you?
And I mean, I don't see how 15 or 20 minutes could elapse before that thing just burst into flame. And if you're afraid to do this yourself.
Have your wife do it.
I can get Bugsy to send Nunzio over. Nunzio does this for $100. A car. It'll be $200. But maybe there's a package deal. $150. They're close by.
No, I would seriously. Now, we've had...
All right, enough of this faulty roll. Let's get right down to it. Let's get back to the cherry bomb idea.
What is wrong with doing that? I know there must be something wrong with warming up.
Well, we were discussing this just the other day in the offices of Dewey Cheatham & Howe, as a matter of fact.
Yes, we were. You call
that. And in years past, when cars had chokes, it was bad because the choke would be on for a long period of time because the choke wouldn't release by itself. And the thing would fast idle, and it would run with a very rich mixture, which would wash down the cylinder walls to overload the converter, et cetera, et cetera, and dilute the motor oil. But modern cars that have fuel injection, like both of their cars do, the thing doesn't fast idle excessively.
Right.
It doesn't really spew out awful stuff. It isn't any worse than what's happening when the thing is being driven. Unfortunately, it's near your window.
Right.
So they're not doing damage to the engine per se, but they are wasting fuel and doing damage to the environment.
Right.
So that's the argument that I would use. I mean, why waste the fuel?
I don't think it's going to work.
And well, then
if they must have already thought of that. They think they have to do this for some reason.
Well, they must have some reason for doing it. I mean, even in Somerville, New Jersey, it's not 30 degrees anymore.
No.
Why would they do this today, in fact? That's
you know why? Because someone's daddy taught him or her to do this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so one of them, either the husband has convinced the wife or vice versa that this is the right thing to do. I mean, the question is, how can we, even if we convinced one of them that it's not true, how can we get them to actually act on it? I'm not sure how to do this.
Well,
we need a psychologist.
Some article you had that, you know.
Wouldn't that be great? Like an article, yeah. Maybe we have written a short monograph.
I've got it. I'm sure that this issue is covered in our mediocre book.
No, it may not be, but it's probably in our column someplace.
No, he's not going to pay any money for the column. He's going to go buy the newspaper. This way he's going to buy a copy of the book.
Right, buy the book first. If you don't find
the book, find the appropriate paragraph, mark it with highlighter, and send it to them as a gift.
Right, but just to be on the... Yes, yes. That would be a
couple of bucks out of it.
Friendly gesture, but just to be on the safe side, I'd get a few cherry bombs.
Good luck, Chip.
All right, thanks
or
very
is it
much.
Holen Roland III.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler right after these very important messages. This message comes from NPR sponsor eBay Motors. It doesn't matter if your car is brand new or a vintage rumbler, there's always room to make improvements to take it to the next level and make it feel a little more like you. But how do you know where to go to find the right parts to do that? Well, eBay Motors has all the right parts at the right prices. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means they have 122 million parts all at your disposal. So whatever you want to do to your car, you'll be able to find exactly what you need at ebaymotors.com. Let's ride.
This is normally the time during the show when we give the answer to last week's puzzler.
But instead, you want me to read some mail. Is that it?
Well, you can do that. But there wasn't a puzzler last week. You see, the puzzler's on summer vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Like Doug Berman's been for the last 6 months.
Months, yeah.
Anyway, the puzzler will be back in the fall. And if you have a puzzler you'd like to propose, you can send it to us here at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
Our fair city.
MA 022-15.
You thought I was asleep at the switch here.
You were
just because
indeed.
I was dozing.
And if we use your puzzler, we'll send you a copy of our mediocre book, Car Talk, if and only if you catch us.
Dear Click and Clack.
Uh-oh.
I'm never going to listen to your program again.
Like about 400 other letters.
Talk about hate mail division. You have made me a laughing stock in my own family. This is serious. Here are the facts. The other day, I piled the wife and kids in the family wagon for a little outing in the city. We drove to Boston, your fair city, ha, across something called BU Bridge. This name must be a holdover from the 60s. BU.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Right. Once there, here's where it gets interesting. Once there, I asked a kindly policeman how to get to Puzzler Tower because it was not shown on the point of interest map.
Like Homes of the Stars?
Homes of the Stars. The policeman claimed he had never heard of this building. So trying to be helpful, I told him I thought it was near Car Talk Plaza. Still nothing. Well, then I mentioned your names and he burst out laughing. He had heard your program, I suppose. He said these places were made up. Uh-oh.
Mm.
So you found out about the trio.
Sonia and his tutu.
I got irate. I stood up for you guys. I told him I was a regular listener, and you would never joke about a thing like that.
Of course we
wouldn't. Or about anything else for that matter.
Of course
well,
we wouldn't.
The long and short of it is that after about an hour of searching, we were forced to admit defeat. I saved face by explaining to my kids that the exact location of Puzzler Tower was probably kept secret owing to national security.
Exactly.
But I sensed they were not totally convinced by this argument. And to tell you the truth, I myself am beginning to wonder whether I am surely right. Is even a real person. Signed, John Graham of Newton, Massachusetts.
Blasphemy! Indeed, Puzzler Tower and Car Talk Plaza exist, but we have changed it. We have purposely given the wrong information.
I mean, we broadcast this show from a moving truck.
Yes.
Because we are both, as you may know, in the witness protection program.
The witness protection program.
And we can't let our identity be known. And they've been trying to triangulate on us for years now. But they'll never do it.
Oh, those dirty dogs. Well, it's time to go back to the phones. 1-800-332-9287. Or if you live in a foreign country like Canada, Mexico, or California, use this number, 617-353-6350. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Meredith from Ithaca, New York.
Meredith, how are you? Ithaca.
I'm fine. I'm fine, but I'm having trouble with the Dadmobile.
What about
Dadmobile?
It?
The Dadmobile is a 1988 Oldsmobile Sierra. And my dad gave it to me last winter, and I noticed after driving it for a while that in the coolant reservoir, the coolant was down to filmy. So I filled it. And about a week later, the coolant was down to fill me again. Mm. This kept going on for a couple months, so finally I took it to a mechanic, and he said, hooked it up to all kinds of machines, and couldn't find anything wrong with it. No seals were broken or anything. Mm. He said, but maybe the water pump, there's a leak in the water pump, so drive it around town, but don't leave town.
And this is the reverse of what people usually tell my brother. Get out of town by
Sunday. And I wasn't really excited about this news because my father gave me this car because I used to have a 71 Volkswagen in which I couldn't leave town. So I was basically back to the same position of not being able to leave town.
Yeah.
So I drove it around a little bit more. Then I took it to another mechanic who said, I can't find anything wrong with it.
Get
out
of town.
Don't look in the reservoir anymore. Just take the radiator. Take the radiator cap off. Look in there. And if it's full, don't worry about it. Then my girlfriend drove it to New York, and she said that she was in stop-and-go traffic at some point for half an hour, and the red light came on.
You ain't kidding.
And when she she looked in the reservoir, it was pretty much empty, so she put a gallon in. So I don't know what's wrong with it.
Wow. You have a leak.
You have a leak, yes. You have a leak.
Yeah, but it's interesting advice. He said, don't look anymore. It's nice. Yeah,
I like that. That's a certain philosophy.
I mean, sometimes that kind of advice is okay, but when it comes to coolant... I mean, if the engine doesn't get cooled off, get this, it will literally melt. Literally.
Well, this car is so ugly, maybe it wouldn't be
Maybe it should melt.
The car has no style. Everyone wants me to get rid of it, so maybe this is the way to go.
So no one has actually done anything to locate the leak? They've just
They said they hooked it up to machines. I don't know what this means.
Oh, they did say that.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't look hard enough.
Electrocardiogram? What? Yeah, they didn't look high
MRI,
enough.
I think.
How long does it take to get from I feel great to fill me?
3 days.
No.
A week.
No.
2 weeks.
More like a month now.
A month.
Yeah.
Aha, that's why they can't find
it. But
a
it's
leak.
Only a month because you're doing little tiny little trips around town. Yes. When your friend took it to New York.
Yes.
Took a day.
Exactly.
And she drove it like a maniac, and that's...
Well, don't lend her the car anymore. She's nothing but a deadbeat anyway, and I wouldn't even speak to her if I were you.
What?
Huh?
She tried to ruin your car, Meredith.
No, I mean, they're not looking hard enough, Meredith. I mean, the leak is obviously there. Leaks are there. If things are there, they are
there.
Is this
a four-cylinder engine or a six-cylinder engine?
Four.
A four. See, I'm going to take a wild guess that you have a leaking head gasket or a cracked cylinder
Why
head.
Why are you taking a guess like that? What kind of a guy are you?
Actually, that's what my father said.
I've taken leave of my senses.
What did Meredith ever do to you? What's wrong with the age-old leak in the radiator?
I don't like it.
Because you don't like leaks in the radiator?
No, because Dingaling number one would have found it.
Not necessarily.
Yes, he would have.
Could be a pinhole.
He would have found it. Pinholes show up as little... How long did he have the car the day he tested it?
All day.
Yeah, but how long did he work on it? 5 minutes.
10 minutes.
No one knows that.
Well...
It only cost me $10.
Well, here's the two things you ought to do. One is go to someone who understands the nature of the problem and the fact that the leak is seemingly undetectable.
Okay.
And tell him or her that so that they will take extraordinary measures to find the leak. Typically, when you tell a mechanic you have a leak, he takes out the pressure tester, he pumps it up to 15, 20 pounds, and he looks around. If he doesn't see water or something squirting it in his eyeballs, he says, oh, fine, no leak. But if it's a real teeny, teeny leak, you might have to leave that pressure tester on there for hours and hours and hours.
And don't forget, it takes hours for the thing to empty out.
Yeah.
So, in fact, you may have a leak. You may have a loose hose clamp someplace, but it just doesn't show up. It shows up as one drop in front of your house, one drop 8 blocks later.
And
right.
Drop nothing under the car. There's no.
You wouldn't see anything.
No, you never see it.
No.
So that's the first thing. You have to make sure that it is not really what we would call an external leak, i.e. the stuff is actually pouring out of somewhere or dripping out of something.
Uh-huh.
If that really proves to not be true, then my brother's dire suggestion is probably correct. And that's
the
bad.
The question for me is, do I really have to do anything?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Oh.
Yeah, you gotta fix it.
What do you mean, Meredith?
Well,
you have a good job. You can afford
actually.
It. You do. I know. You're making a pile of money. People are coming to you to borrow cars. Your father gave you a car. Why did he give you a car?
Because I couldn't drive that Volkswagen out of town, but...
And he wanted you to get out of town? Hey, Meredith, take my car. Get the hell out of town.
He wanted me to come see him, I guess. But it seems to me that Volkswagen, I never did anything to it, even when something was wrong and it still kept going.
Yeah.
And that never leaked
but
anymore.
But you don't have it anymore, do you?
No.
No. No, you can't let it go because one of these days you will forget to fill up the fill me little bucket, and the engine will literally melt.
Yeah.
And that will cost you big bucks.
Or at that point, should I just toss the car over a cliff?
Yes.
Yeah.
But before you do that, take it to either one of these mechanics you took it to before.
Okay.
Have them put the tell them you want them to put the pressure tester on the engine when it's hot.
Oh, okay.
And leave it on for hours, all day if necessary.
Yeah. Okay. Shoot for 8 hours.
And if they see something on the ground, they know you have a leak. If they don't, ask them to do the tests that they would do for a blown head gasket or a cracked block.
Okay.
They should take it to Rogers Radiator.
Yes.
The best place in town to take a leak. I've always said that.
Well, good luck.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Meredith.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Be sure to stick around for more calls and the new puzzler coming right up.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, BetterHelp. Life can be overwhelming, and many are burned out without even knowing it. Struggling with work or any of life's roles can lead to lack of motivation and detachment. Prioritize your mental health by talking with someone. BetterHelp Online Therapy offers video, phone, and live chat sessions with a professional therapist, and it's more affordable than in-person therapy. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/cartalk.
NPR is doing its annual survey to better understand how listeners like you spend time with podcasts. Please help us out by completing a short anonymous survey at npr.org/podcastsurvey, all one word. We would really appreciate your help to support NPR podcasts. That's npr.org/podcastsurvey, all one word. Thanks. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers.
Let me
and
see
we're here
a 63 Dodge Darter.
To answer your questions about... Are you looking up?
I'm looking up 63 Dodge. I have the official used car guide. I just want to see what my car is worth. 63 Dodge Dart. See index, it says. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Index.
Uh-huh.
Rave on.
Anyway, we're here to answer your questions about cars and car repair and lasagna recipes of mechanics we've known and loved.
If you yeah.
care to have any of our lasagna sure. recipes. Anyway, I wanted to make this announcement before I forgot.
Yeah.
Because this is the time.
Is this where what do they call it? A public service announcement?
Disservice, actually.
Public disservice.
This is normally the time during the program where we introduce what? The new puzzler.
Ah, yes.
But we've given the puzzler a break. Actually, we've given you a break from the puzzler. The puzzler is on summer vacation. It is our hope, our fervent hope, that it'll come back refreshed, renewed, rejuvenated, and a little less lousy than it's been for the last few months.
Well, they haven't all been lousy. There have been.
Oh, there have been some stinkers.
So stinky.
Oh, yeah.
There have been some moments there.
Yeah,
I would not say that overall that they've been lousy.
And I must say that I've been responsible for all of them.
Yes, the only
good,
ones that were
bad,
any good.
Bad and ugly.
The only ones that were any good were the few that I interjected here and there, which I stole from Marilyn Vosavant.
Well, anyway, if you have a good puzzler that you think we might be able to use when the puzzler gets back.
What if someone actually had some idea for a puzzler and wanted to, like, send it to us? What would they do?
Fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Maybe that person could send that puzzler to us at Puzzler Tower, potentially good puzzler division.
Potentially good. Not potentially good puzzler division. Potentially good puzzler division.
Potentially good.
The stress is very important.
Dash puzzler division.
Potentially good.
Car Talk Plaza.
I would have put the dash after potentially to link those two words. Potentially good. Puzzler Division.
Car Talk Plaza.
How about Division of Potentially Good Puzzlers?
There you go. 630 Commonwealth Avenue, Boston.
His fair city.
Meh. 02215.
Did you believe that policeman didn't know where Cartalk Plaza was?
He did.
I'll have his badge. Get him up here.
1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Cartalk.
Joe Zajac in Meriden, Connecticut.
Joe?
Yeah.
Zajac.
Sound familiar?
Zajac. What a great name.
It's short and it's Polish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyone who's Polish can't be all bad.
Oh, no, there's a lot of good ones out there.
They're all good. They're all good, Joe.
They're all good.
Well, except maybe you. Go ahead. What's your question?
I'll tell you how good I am. I'll say how good you guys are.
Wait, what part of Chicago are you from?
Oh, I'm not from Chicago.
Where are you from?
Meriden, Connecticut.
Oh, my God. I had the best pierogies of my life in Meriden, Connecticut one time.
You betcha.
I did, in a little diner. I'll never forget it.
Joe's Diner?
Can't remember.
So what's up, Joe?
What I've got is an 87 Ford Tempo.
Yeah.
92,000 miles on it. And more accurately, it belongs to my daughter, who's a senior at UConn. And she's going to graduate in December if it doesn't rain again. You guys live in New England, you know what rain can be. Every time it rains or it gets real damp, the car takes the day off.
No kidding.
I'm not kidding.
This is good.
No, it's not good.
No, it's good from the standpoint, intellectually good. I didn't mean it was good for you or for your daughter, but it's intellectually good because this is a classic problem, and I'm curious to know why all the classic reasons don't apply here, because I'm sure they're going to tell us you've already done everything that should be done.
Well, he's done nothing.
He called us. Why'd you call us, Joe? What have they done to it?
Well, I've taken to my friendly neighborhood garage. And
yeah.
Even though this is a Polish community, his name is Frenchie. And I have utmost trust in Frenchie.
Yeah.
And he gave it a tune-up back in December. In the end of January, first time the car stopped. And since then, he's gone through the distributor cap, the rotor, the ignition wires, the plugs.
Oh, wait a minute now. You never had this problem until Frenchie tuned it up?
Yes.
Ooh.
No kidding.
Interesting point.
Yeah, that's it. You hadn't realized that until just now, huh?
That's true.
That's true.
Okay,
well,
then that's, I guess, that was
worth
out.
That was worth the dime right there.
But I can't turn the clock back.
No, okay. So now he has gone, and tell us again now what happens. If it rains, you turn the key and it cranks and cranks and it doesn't start.
Cranks and cranks, and the daughter who's driving the car 100% of the time, it just dies wherever it happens to be. Sometimes on the road, sometimes when she comes out in the morning out to campus and the car won't start because it rained the previous night.
So have you brought it back to Frenchie to find out what the story is?
Frenchie has been through the distributor and the ignition and the plugs, and even on a wild shot, he put a used module in there, thinking the module might be causing it.
Yeah. Now, this is, I have a question. This 87, is this fuel injected or carbureted?
Fuel injection.
Okay, that's good.
Is it good?
Yeah, that's good, because I may have an answer for you.
Ooh, that's good.
I may have an answer, but what?
It may be wrong.
Well, I'll never know until it rains again.
Has he had it when it's rained?
That was my question.
Has he ever had it overnight?
He has had it overnight. But on a dry night, and what he's tried to do is wet the engine compartment down a little bit.
So he's hosed it down.
But that never worked, did it?
No.
The problem is it must take many hours of high relative humidity to do this. In other words, wetting it down with the garden hose is not as effective in terms of making it not start as having just moisture-laden air, like a foggy night would be enough.
No, it takes a little more than fog.
A heavy foggy night would probably be enough.
Misty.
Yeah, that little drizzly, because I have run into this with several Ford cars, and I must admit that we have stumbled around in the dark with some of these over the years, especially when people have had the distributor cap, the wires, the module, the pickup, and
everything,
all that stuff.
As I said, all the classic solutions to the no startum in the rainum problem.
Now, I would imagine he would have inspected the coil to look for cracks in the coil.
Yes.
But if he hasn't done that, you might suggest that.
I believe he has investigated.
He probably has. But one of the things he may not have investigated, and we discovered it quite by accident on a few occasions.
As we discover everything.
That's how most discoveries are made.
Yes.
The throttle position sensor, or the throttle position switch, which is a piece that's located on the throttle body, which sends a signal to the computer, which tells it where the throttle position is. In other words, if the throttle's closed, half open, although, you know, and it's an infinite reading thing. It can tell it in any one of a 9 million different positions. And this thing is affected by moisture. And if it does, it screws up the computer and the car won't run. If it does start, it'll stall repeatedly, and in some cases, it won't start at all when it's
because
wet.
What it's doing, the signal that's getting to the computer is erroneously telling the computer what the position of the throttle is. Mm-hmm. So if it's telling it that the throttle is wide open when in fact it's closed, the air that goes in and everything else that happens is going to be all screwed up.
So it could be that.
Okay, that's the first time I've heard that discussed, so that's something new.
It's the first time we've mentioned it.
just thought of it now.
No, I have seen it happen on a few other Fords, and if he's tried everything else, try this.
If this works, just let us know, will you?
I will definitely call. Matter of fact, I'll call you back one way or another.
Excellent.
Matter of fact, my daughter will call you the next time she's out there and it dies.
All right, just send flowers.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right,
thanks, Joe.
See you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, another valuable hour of your time has been wasted.
You've got a strange sense of values yourself.
Listening to Car Talk. Yes. Our producer and head of the Car Talk frequent flyer bonus program
is
Doug Berman. I don't know, but he's got a great tan, doesn't he? Our assistant producer and dean of the Department of Automusicology is Ken Babyface Rogers. Our engineer is Jennifer Conifer Gonifer Loeb.
Yeah.
Our technical advisor and director of the NAP division is John Bugsy Lawler. Our director of long-range strategic planning is Kay Sarah, who, of course, is married to Frank Sarah, and now we call her
Kay Sarah Sarah.
Our staff
disciplinarian
is Lester. Our transportation coordinator is Rick Shaw. Our staff, Our staff
is ours. Our General Motors is the car company of the 90s.
Our staff composer is Bella Kartok. The conductor of the Tappet Brothers Symphony Orchestra is Sludgy Ozawa. Keep up the singing. The manager of the Tappet Brothers Capital Depreciation Fund is Les Ismore. The chairman of the Car Talk Physics Department is Victor Analysis. Our chief legal counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known locally as Huey Louie Dewey.
Kiss it off!
We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. This is NPR, National Public Radio.